Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
His brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that doesn't always talk about fictional books. Or do we?
That's a big question.
This is Hysteria 51.
Cheese muffins.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, we are your hosts and head interviewers. I'm John Goforth.
No. Book critics? Is that?
Book
critics this week?
Yeah. Book critics. I'm John Goforth, and this is Brent Hand.
Thanks, John. Tonight, we are talking to the author of the fictional romp centered around the UFO phenomenon.
Cheese muffins.
I thought I told you to keep Kyle out here while we're recording.
He's helping with the show this week.
That other voice, that other deeper voice you're hearing is helping. The one and only conspiracy bot. Brent built C-Bot in his lab to help produce the podcast. Instead, he drinks all day and apparently builds small subpar robots named Kyle.
I've got your subpar right here.
Why is he here?
It's simple, but then again, so are you. So let me explain. You guys said you wanted me to read some Apple podcast reviews on the show this week. I don't like to work, so Kyle here researched them and is going to do it.
We told you we don't like Kyle and certainly don't want him here while we record at all, period.
I know. Great, isn't it? Kills two cats with one stone. It annoys you and gets me out of work. God bless America.
Wait, what does this have to do with America?
Cheese muffins.
Okay. Let's just get it over with. Kyle, I understand you have some reviews of the show you'd like to read.
Thank you. Yes, I do. Here's the first one from Hyrunic. 1 star. Titled Facepalm Times Eye Roll. These guys are not even close to comedians and just can't give up.
They're wannabe
dicks. C-Bot, really? That's the best you can come up with.
Kyle, let's stick with the reviews that praise me.
Blurb, got it. Here's another from Nemo Jones, 1 star. Titled Wanted to Like It. But I couldn't get past the cringeworthy C-Bot.
I'm seeing a trend here, buddy.
Kyle, what part of make me look good and make the meat sacks look bad do you not understand?
Most of it. I'd say I don't understand
most of that.
Damn it.
Here's another. From Endorph Man. 3 stars.
Sounds a bit more promising.
Titled Get Rid of the Robot and Singing.
Wait, that's at me.
Okay, that's enough. Kyle and I are going to have a talk. Kyle, I don't have time to babysit you while I'm building my bot juice empire. Bot juice.
This is great. The disobedient child becomes the parent, right?
Only I'm going to throw my child into a smelter.
Cheese muffins. Next one, conspiracy bot is
us.
Shut up, Kyle.
On that note, let's get on with the show. We've got a special guest this evening. Well, a couple.
We are joined by a guest, a well-known and loved contributor.
A bumperless guest.
Oh, yeah. He's... You are getting, it's kind of like the Five Timers Club on SNL. Yeah. We're going to have to get you a robe soon.
Mm-hmm.
But by a robe, we mean a bumper.
Velvet
and
smoking
lunch with
jacket.
Tom Hanks.
That's T. Hanks. Thank you very much.
If you don't recognize those dulcet tones, it is the one, the only, David Flora.
Hi, everybody.
David Fluoride, we're happy to have you back here in the Lower Fourth, even though you're a Lower Fourth denizen just like we are.
I am.
It's nice to have you. Conspiracy Bot is a big fan.
False.
Kyle.
No, he's
Kyle,
not so from
much.
A big fan.
Cheese muffins.
Yeah. So, David, what is new and exciting in the world of blurry photos?
Blurry photos has been hard at work coming up with the next episode, which I hope has dropped by now. But I've been really working hard on it's turning into
and
a two-parter.
By now, you mean... when we're recording this in 1969.
Right. And the time dilation is right. Yeah, a little weird, but
it's set to an aught 4.
It's
that just makes sense. If you guys were woke, you would know what
that meant. Y2 aught 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. so hopefully by 2004, it'll be out and nobody's stuff crashes. But yeah, I've been hard at work putting together an episode. And I've started a new podcast.
Yes. Which I somewhere have misplaced my brand new sticker. Oh, here it is.
That's it. Yep. So I am doing a show called Quiz Quiz Bang Bang, which is a trivia show, and I'm doing it with my wife, Annie. And
now is that a nod to one of my favorite movies, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
It's a
silent wink.
it's on the surface. So we just kind of wanted
to
pun.
Expect you to have Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer on the show.
Well, it's nothing but Val Kilmer trivia. So.
Oh, I'm in.
I'm your Huckleberry.
No, it's just the pun in there. But I mean, we've got like a noir kind of theme on the surface, but it's mostly just pub quiz practice questions.
That's awesome. It's fun. Like I've just. So, I will sit and I do like the Jeopardy questions like every day with my Alexa and stuff like that. I do okay. And then I go to like pub trivia and there's so much sports that I don't know. I'm always terrible. At least I'll be in a team. We're like, well, we're not going to get half of these, but then every once in a while she'll answer one. And I'm like, where'd that come from? She's like, I don't know. I blanked out what happened. You know? Speaking of Val Kilmer real quick. I don't know if you guys saw the trailer drop for Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
No.
And it's the reboot is they're rebooting Bluntman and Chronic, and so they're going to stop it. Guess who's playing Bluntman in the movie?
Val Kilmer. Oh, that's great.
Crazy.
Yeah. I was just watching Real Genius last week. Oh, what a great Val Kilmer movie.
Can you hammer a 9-inch spike through a board with your penis? Not yet, but I'm working on it.
So I'm sitting there watching Real Genius, and my suspension of disbelief turned off. And I got so angry about something in the show. And you're probably thinking, if you've seen the movie, oh, yeah, a laser wouldn't pop all that popcorn. That's not what I'm talking about. For some reason, I didn't have any problem with that. I had a problem with the closet that what's-his-name lived in.
Laszlo Holyfield. Why, God, why do I remember that? I can't remember my wife's name half the time, so, but Laszlo Holyfield.
The closet opens, and there's this huge pathway in between walls that he can fit a little train track on that the kid rides down and into the boiler room.
David, do you want me, or do you want to explain how the 80s worked to him? Because obviously he doesn't get it.
You're right, though. Some of those movies, you go back, and you're like, wait, I don't even remember. I was watching... Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Mm-hmm.
The parade scene is mm-hmm. the most silly, ridiculous thing you've literally ever seen. You've got like the guys up on the scaffolding dancing.
Obviously, you don't know about union dancing, David. You want me, or do you want him to, you know, to explain that?
I'll handle this one. So, back in the 80s,
you know, the first like 10 years, since that movie, between when that movie came out and 10 years later,
mm-hmm.
I thought that was Ferris Bueller singing.
You idiot. It's Matthew Broderick. I'm a dumb ass.
They don't even do a good job with the lip syncing.
No.
Yeah, I mean,
no. And if he would have ran out and tried to get into a Chicago street festival, he'd have been shot, tasered, sat on, you know, like, we don't know what happened to him.
I love the cop defense of sitting on a perp. I mean, they do it.
It's the Chief Wiggum. They call that the Chief Wiggum.
I got him. Yeah.
And speaking of Chief Wiggum, we have we're talking about books today,
Brent. Yeah, we are talking about books. We have a special guest this week, Eric Bickernix. He wrote the book High Strangeness, and it is very much in line with what we talk about. So we're going to go to break here soon, but before we do that, let's give the blurb.
It's called High Strangeness because when you
David's
read it,
you're laughing,
supposed
to be and high. I can't stop laughing looking at him.
David, what part, high strangeness, what part has you giggly?
The reading that you read anything.
All right, so let's give the kids at home a taste of what the book is about. What do you say, Brent?
Since we have Mr. Flora.
He's called The Voice.
Why don't you read the blurb for our fine listeners?
Mostly because Christina Aguilera lives inside me.
It's one of those Men in Black situations, like she's operating here.
Hi. All right. This is the blurb for High Strangeness, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A genie and a David.
I'm going to rub me the right
Oh,
way.
God, let me out. All right.
Something strange has arrived on Cape Cod, and it's not just the UFOs. Ken Wakeman, a skeptical ufologist who seeks the truth about paranormal phenomenon, struggles to discredit the myriad of crackpot theories out there. Melissa Mel Howard, a reporter for a small Cape Cod newspaper, copes with the seasonal tourist invasion and its accompanying anxieties. Why did I say tourist? When the Cape becomes the national focus over a rush of UFO sites, they join forces to get to the bottom of it.
Do you have to be from there to call it the Cape?
Despite denials from town officials and the military that UFOs have landed, Mass Hysteria 51 overcomes the seaside community. In addition to the frantic humans, Astro, Ken's golden retriever, has also been acting strangely. Joining the invasion is Click, the promiscuous leader of a spandex-clad UFO cult whose members want to amalgamate with the fornications when their spaceship lands. Mel learns that when dealing with wingnuts, the truth isn't necessarily out there. Tom Frazier, an infamous proponent of crashed saucers and frozen alien bodies, claims the local military base houses some intriguing secrets. After a visit from the FBI gives legitimacy to Tom's story, Ken will ultimately decide how far he's willing to go to witness humanity's greatest close encounter.
I don't know if you guys knew this, but the team, the duo of Ken Wakeman and Tom Frazier, it's Poughkeepsie's number one news team.
Wakeman and Frazier in the morning.
Dun, 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 dun.
When you need the truth, you go to Wakeman and Frazier.
It's just them, you know, with the crossed arms back to back.
Yeah, back.
Oh, but then you need like live action shots like, Mr. Alderman, roll down your window. Tell
that,
us.
That or it's one of those, Wakeman and Frazier, attorneys at law.
I'm Ken the Hammer Wakeman.
Yeah, and I'm Tom Boom Boom Frazier.
Together we are Hammer and Boom Boom. Yeah.
Were you injured by a cotton candy machine?
Did a UFO land on your house?
Were you burned by a kettle corn cooking accident?
Do you have a loved one that was injured by a cotton candy machine?
Boom, boom! Do you have a mesh implant or mesothelioma?
We will bring down the hammer and go boom, boom. It's just them talking and then scenes of them like busting through fake brick walls.
Oh, yeah! No, someone busts through the break wall, goes, oh, yeah. And he's wearing a shirt that says, like, injury. And they go, oh, no.
Copyright infringement. Well, yes.
Oh, I'm going to choke. All right, so we're going to go to break. When we come back, though, we're going to have Eric Bickernix on. He is the author of High Strangest. We're going to talk about the book. It's a lot of fun. We think you guys are going to really enjoy it, and you can pick it up for free. So that is awesome. Well, if you read the show notes, we're going to have links to where you can get it at. That's coming up after the break on Hysteria 51.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes.
Tom Boom Boom Fraser.
Slightly different.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And, you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit RosettaStone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Nation, we are back, and we are joined by our guest, Mr. Eric Bickernix. Eric has written a really interesting and fun fictional book.
Fictional, but incredibly poignant for the times going on right now.
Art imitates life, imitates art.
Touchstones in reality, let's say.
Yeah.
And Eric joins us. Eric, thank you so much for joining the program today.
Ta-da! Hey, thanks, guys.
So, did you have a crystal ball, number one, the first thing I want to ask you when you look into this? Or what was the thing that the Vatican had, John? Chronovisor.
Chronovisor, or as we like to call it, the Pope glasses.
The Pope scope.
The Pope scope. That's a much different visor.
Right, right. So we'll get into why it's so pointy here in a bit. But Eric, thank you so much for joining us. And you wrote the book, High Strangeness. Before the break, we gave everyone the blurb of your book, you know, what you say it's about. But, you know, before we get into the book, give us your background. What's your whole history? You kind of went from kettle corn to aliens. That's not an easy jump. That's an impressive one.
Yeah, no, basically I'm a filmmaker by trade, 57 years old. So I've been paying attention to UFOs, you know, back in the 70s when there were only like, eight books to read.
In the world, that's a fact too. Libraries were small.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot going on there.
Town priest had to read them to you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, you're right though. There wasn't a lot of aliens at all books, period.
Right, and I've watched it evolve basically from the 60s where everyone had their own different cool alien to now it's just basically, well, they're all consistent and, yeah, it's basically folklore at this point.
That's a funny thing that you say that too because it has become – the cultural narrative has become the Greys for the most part. Now they're also all those others. But back in the day, everyone – like we did the one recently, and it was the elephant skin carrot nosed ones. And before
the floaty
that,
one, it floated, right?
It had like the stump legs. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Or there was the blue avians and this and then the other. Now everyone's got the big eyed grays.
That's because those are the real ones.
Oh.
Yeah. In case you're wondering. Mm-hmm. So Eric, what got you interested in aliens initially?
It's cool. That's like a pretty cool topic to study and what's not to love?
right. So like you know,
anal probes is the answer to that question.
Well, you know, 9 out of 10.
that's after a couple of beers. All right.
So you know, you said you've been doing this since like the 60s and you've been you got hooked on it. How'd you come up with a story or what made you want to write a book about the alien? So what led you to High Strangeness?
Right. Well, I wanted to suggest an alternative, you know. And basically, I'm not going to argue that, you know, the aliens are certainly someplace else on another, you know, star system or galaxy, or whatever. I have no issue with that. Obviously. My issue is they're pretty stupid if they manage to crash into our planet. Basically, these stupid alien hypotheses of mine here. And I can run you a bunch of examples, but yeah, you know, it's like, come on, give them some credit, you know, if they can warp space or however, you know, travel the speed of light, hitting our planet is incredibly, you know, dumb.
Right.
And obviously, when you get your ideas from science fiction, basically, you know, you, as an author, you have to write to your audience. And don't forget, the funny statistic is, you know, 50% of all people have below average intelligence. So, you know, there are more idiots with $15 for a movie ticket or for a book than there are PhDs or scientists with $15 to read your book, you know.
Eric, there's one thing, though. Actually, none of the below average folks listen to this program.
Of course not. Yeah.
We have a
also 37% of all statistics are just made up.
That's
right?
True. Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln said that.
Yeah. Well, it's on his blog.
Yeah. And the problem is dumb people, well, or however you want to define that, don't know they're dumb, right? There's a hypothesis.
Non-listeners to our show is how we define it.
Yeah, right.
John is well aware of his status in life. I will thank you to
my limitations.
Yes.
Right, there's a term for that. People who don't know how to do something are completely ignorant of what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And this, there's some report that came out that stated that. And if you're just gonna go with science fiction that's the possibility. There's more out there.
Well, right, and you know another thing you talked about was Heaven's Gate an influence on this?
Oh, very much so. No, I have a character in there, sort of based off of Marshall Applewhite. I'm basically on Cape Cod, and mm-hmm. I thought it was cool that before he went to the West Coast, he was considering going to Cape Cod, cool. And setting up his whole organization here.
Yeah, and that's an example of them. You know, that you didn't use the Heaven's Gate cult. What was yours called in your book again? I'm blanking.
The Fornicetians.
Yes.
From the Alpha Fornicus, the star cluster Fornax. Obviously, the Fornicetians want to have sex with everybody, and then obviously, if you could only be pulled into their spaceship, you could have wonderful sex with the Fornicetians.
I don't want to surprise you in here, but I'm willing to join that cult if it gets me in with the Fornicetians. Yes.
Right. And obviously it's a satire, you know, I just tossed in the Raelians because, yeah, well, you know, okay. Yeah. Why not? And that whole thing of, yeah, the Marshall Applewhite and his thing. Interesting. In my research, I actually sat there and listened to all of Applewhite's teachings.
Yeah. So John and I, we actually did an episode on the, or actually I think it might've been a two-parter. I don't remember on the right. Heaven's Gate cult. And we sat and watched his videos and read and, you know, the original, how it was like, you know, let's talk about UFOs. And then somehow it was like, let's castrate ourselves and kill ourselves. And right. It is an amazing to see the way those people that run these cults work and just shape the minds of people. And, you know, we're laughing at it because it's hilarious right. to us. But some people, even people that you would assume have an above average right. IQ, fall for this stuff hook, line, and sinker. David, how many cults have you been a member of?
Probably 37
in a row
by this point. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, one thing.
You can only castrate yourself so many times, though.
Wait, enough. More than once? We need to talk later, David.
Yeah, join in.
Eric, one of the things I found interesting looking over your website, you gave a list of things that kind of helped inspire you for this story.
Right.
And one of them was a UFO religion that I wasn't terribly familiar with, Raelism.
Right.
I didn't know much about
that. John?
Yeah. R-A-E with dots over it, whatever those are called. L-I-S-M, Raelism.
Huh.
And they show the logo. If you go to Wikipedia for Raelism, they show the logo. And
right.
it's a Star of David. With a swastika in the middle.
Yep.
What?
Yeah. I'm not kidding.
The marketing guys fixed that, I think, for those guys. Yeah.
They literally said
they had the mushroom cloud with a dove of peace in the middle of it.
They
switched it to that.
they say on the Wikipedia page that after a while they changed the logo to get rid of the swastika as to be able to have better PR in Israel.
Right.
Okay, you think?
Well, was it the swastika? Is it the actual swastika or like the Asian? See,
it was blended in like to a star, I think. Yeah, it fit into a star.
If you go over to like Asian countries, the quote unquote swastika is everywhere because it's a sign of peace.
Yeah, but still, it's inside the Star of David. I mean, like, think
that had to be a little on the nose.
It's like, you know, I swear I'm using this racial slur in the right way. Don't go there.
I mean, with a symbol like that, are they trying to like foster peace? Is that what their goal
is?
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know a lot about it. Do you know a lot about their religion?
Yeah, that's why I was asking the question. Tell us how that inspired you and what you know about it, because I'm just not too familiar.
Right. Well, no, I had a character, one of my sidekick characters. Well, the deal is, why not join a thing like that, at least temporarily, if you want to get laid? Hell, it's a great place to get laid. You know, you don't even have to believe it, but you can just sort of pretend to believe it if your motivation was just to get laid.
I'm doing
right?
it to and get laid. Leave me alone.
Right. I had one character who basically joins it just to get laid, but his buddy is like, you know, come on, you don't believe this crap. It's like, well, no, but, you know, I'm getting laid. So, yeah, what's not the satire about this?
6 years later, he's leading it. Like, come on, guys, right. join. You're get laid. You gotta castrate yourself, but you get laid. I don't know if I still want to get laid. I don't know.
Well, yeah, hold on. The aliens just want to get laid. You're right. The Heaven's Gators want to get castrated. You know, right? The point is, they don't want to get laid. The Heaven's Gators, so that's no fun.
Yeah.
But the aliens, have at it, right?
Yeah, you lost. That's a hard pill to swallow. You lost me on it. Like, and then you cut your.
It's the only
off.
Thing that's hard to swallow.
Yeah. Man, I tell you.
I did read that the realism or realists, I guess, practice sensual meditation.
So, like, is Sting one of them? Because Disney does like tantric meditations and stuff
probably
like that.
Is.
Lord.
I don't know. So it's funny, you know, you talk about this in a time we were kind of alluding to this earlier. September 20th is the day that everyone says they're going to storm Area 51. What's your book culminate in? What's the hilarious part of this? What did you use that chronovisor for, Eric?
Right. Basically, the book ends basically with two groups storming the local Air Force base here on Cape Cod. And basically, in the under the guise of, well, I have a sort of a Bob Lazar character who said, listen, the aliens are not at Area 51.
Todd Lazar for monetary reasons.
My variant, right, is like, no, they would have left the alien bodies where they crashed, man. And it was a crash saucer on the base back in the 60s, da 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 da. So basically the aliens would be there. We need to get onto the alien, because I worked at the other, you know, blah 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 blah, Air Force Base, but et cetera, right? And the diversion is sort of my Marshall Applewhite character. He's expecting his spaceship to return, right, and suck him up into the spaceship here. And during the whole book, there was a whole bunch of UFO sightings. So they all said, all right, yeah, I need to get onto the base because they're going to pick me up there. That's obviously where his father crashed. His father, you know, it was part of the original fornications that crashed at the base. I had fun making the shit up, right? So,
well, you should, right? So that's hilarious because it's such tongue in cheek with what's going on right now, which is now they had a reason. They were actually storming for a reason. We're right now, I believe the thing that they've said is let's clap them alien cheeks and let's get that alien tech and as the memes right. have spread from there.
But when I wrote this 2 years ago, I was just like, I'm kind of pushing this. Hopefully my audience will stay with me when I say, okay, they're just going to rush an Air Force base. But I figured, now, deal with an Air Force base. Well, yeah, what's on a local Air Force base? Certainly on Area 51. those guys are ready. Those guys are told to shoot on, you know, right? If you actually went onto that thing,
right,
there's actually real bullets would be flying. So it'd be interesting to see who goes to the gate first, you know?
You're actually wrong. It wouldn't be bullets. It'd be laser beams.
Yeah.
Engineer alien
gamma
attack.
Weapons.
Yeah, same, right. Yeah, yeah. Right.
If let's pretend here to say that there was an alien ship that crashed, so we knew about it.
Pretend.
Do you guys see right? Let's say we knew it happened. Do you see the populace going and actually storming a place for real? Not like
no.
the tongue in cheek. You don't see that happening at all.
I don't I think it would be a lot more
diplomatic
storm if they're going to storm something like you know how when there are protesters they go to the senator's office and they sit down and say we're not leaving until you pass this bill or something like, you know, we need full disclosure, give us all the information. I don't think people actually are going to put their life and limb at stake for it,
right?
I feel like they're going to build a base in Minecraft and create an avatar to go and storm. That's probably what they'd be more likely to do.
Right.
That's
right.
Good point.
Like I'm out. Yeah. 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 I don't know. Like it would have to be some hell of a reason for your normal person to actually storm a place. Like, you know, they've got Elvis and the Cure for Cancer in there, but they're keeping it from us, which is, I'm sure, things that people say about Area 51 right now. Anyway,
free stuff is what they're going to storm for.
Now that's true.
Or deals.
That's true. In another life, I worked in radio and whenever we would do remotes, we would always have people show up and we called them prize pigs. And they had no interest in the event, the advertiser that we were, you know, broadcasting from the station itself.
Because Prize Pig was my favorite Batman villain. So.
And, I'll get you, Batman.
You'll take all of my prizes.
Right after the state fair.
No, but and they would show up and they might even get there an hour before the broadcast starts. Hey, I'm just here. I need 17 T-shirts. No. How about that? Oh, I heard you guys are giving away bumper stickers today. I'll take 36 of them.
Right.
No, you won't. I mean, yeah. You have to give them to me. It's the law.
We did a live show, and at the end of it, we handed out T-shirts and stickers and stuff. You would have thought we were handing out, like, gold. People were, like, fighting over and climbing
over
one another.
We were handing out gold.
That is true. That is true. What was I thinking?
Eric, question right. for you. This book... as entertaining as it is, there's another version of it. You actually originally wrote this as a screenplay?
Yes. Well, I converted. In my mind, I conceived it as a screenplay. Did the book first, figuring, all right, well, how the hell am I going to sell a screenplay? So I figured, at least if the world's going to ignore it, it's like, okay, good. At least I have it down, the story in book form. Yes. No. I then turned it into a screenplay, and that whole aspect was intriguing. Knowing that I was going to turn it into a screenplay, it was still hard to boil down 60,000 words into roughly 20.
I was just reading that on your website, too. That's funny how you said, like, how hard it is. Like, what do you cut? This is my baby. Mm. How do I make my baby smaller?
Yeah. I wrote the damn thing, and it's still right. It's like tough. And basically, I sent it out a bunch of film festivals. And I think right now it's nominated at the New England Film Festival in the script category. So,
that's awesome.
Me, one of four. Yeah, you know. So, obscurity awaits. So, okay, yeah.
Right. It's up against Mr. Mercedes, the other, that other New England author.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about him.
Get that name out of your mouth. Do you ever see it being made? I mean, is it something you would pursue? I know you've got a background in filmmaking. You did comedy sketches online in the past.
Right.
Is it something that you would want to pursue? Didn't you write a book about how you made your first film on a shoestring budget?
Yes. No, I know. I shot a feature back in 2000. Like I said, filmmaker guy. So that was the big, thing I wanted to do. And it tanked. So, nobody wants to read those stories here. The problem is, the problem I see now that I've actually gotten it out there a little bit, is I'm not following the script, the formula here. And because I'm trying to do something different. I'm like, here's an alternative to Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Right.
What about this? And apparently, there's too many true believers. It's like, it's bullshit. I have my set. It's got to be grazed. It has to be blah, blah, So I'm slamming into that. In fact, I found another author just bought the book. He does science fiction things. And he just texted me that he went to was Alien Con at South California. He tried selling his book, and he had a funny book about an alien family, da da da. And he said basically that most people are so serious about the subject, they're like, screw it, I'm not going to deal with
thing. We were actually at Alien Con in LA, and it is true. We actually, the three of us here, we talked about that. They're like, you have different types of people that go to those things that consume what we do. The true believer is a large part of it. And unfortunately, a lot of times the true believer, not unfortunately, but sometimes true believers are so clouded by their own want to believe that they can't, they can't let fact or science get in the way of a good story.
Right.
Which they don't think is just a good story. And then stuff like, this comedy comes out and they go, oh, that's going to damage the brand. No, it doesn't. It doesn't damage. Guess what? There's aliens and lots of comedies and stuff like that. Don't let that be too many people. Let that be a deciding factor for him, I think, is what I'm trying to get at.
Well, right. I think a great example of that is the X-Files. Like, if you go back and watch episodes of the X-Files, every now and then they would just have a completely tongue in cheek episode that was just supposed to be funny.
They were very, Mulder all of a sudden is cracking jokes and doing funny things, and
it wasn't always the truth is out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Eric, we really appreciate you joining the show today. Tell everyone where they can find your book, where they can find you, and anything else that we need to know.
Hidden in my basement in obscurity. Basically, the website is capecodufo.com. Just go there. All the links are there. It's free right now. The book's free online just because I'm trying to get a following, and then I'll charge for it.
So from Cape now Cod, on, it's not your basement. It's your lair.
Right.
And it gives you an extra layer of awesome. So Cape Cod doc, and also you've
Cape
got
Cod UFO.
What's your other book? This is your second book. What's your first book?
Artifice. How would I sum this one up here? Basically, I sort of like a satire in the art world and sort of fame and fortune. I sort of say that there's no genius, only marketing. when it comes to art, how do you define one piece of art is better than another piece of art? Well, it's the marketing.
Man, you are spot on with that.
Yeah,
that
right?
is an incredibly true statement. I was just watching a movie, The Upside. Did you see that?
It was
great. And one of the characters in it, he paints a painting, and the guy he paints it for, like, makes everyone think it's worth a ton of money. He sells it for $50,000. This is the first thing he ever painted. And they're just like, it's all in the marketing, man. It's like, could it be Banky? does anyone really know?
Banksy, yeah.
Right. Banksy, yeah, not Banksy, yeah. Banksy, yeah. You know, so that is so true. Like, a small amount of people control what is consumed as high-end art in the art world.
Right. Well, or, right, or even books or anything, right.
Right, absolutely.
All right, so that, and that, again, that was CapeCodUFO.com, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, Eric, thanks for joining. Listeners, we're going to hit the break. And when we come back, we're going to make fun of Eric. No, I'm kidding. We're going to recap everything we talked about and hit a few other topics.
On Hysteria 51.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Acast powers some of the world's best podcasts. Here's a show we recommend.
Hello, everyone. I'm Danny Pellegrino.
I'm Jenna Brister.
And we are back for season 2 of a very merry, iconic podcast. We're going to be diving into your favorite holiday movies, recapping them, and going on a few tangents.
Yes, and it's the end of the world as we know it. So why not close out 2020 with a bunch of episodes of Holiday Recap with us?
So we hope everyone grabs a cup of eggnog.
And a fistful of candy.
Cook that bird in
Doritos.
The
Doritos. We don't care what you're into. Just join us.
Grab your bed wine. Grab your couch cocoa. We're getting lit on the holiday movies. We'll be doing 10 recap episodes. So subscribe to A Very Merry Iconic Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts and find us on social media at A Very Merry Iconic Podcast on Instagram, and we'll have all the updates there.
Acast recommends.
Boom, boom. I'm all that in a bag of chips.
Oh, man, that costs extra if you're from where I'm from.
What's the next line?
When
fuck
you
it,
are.
I'm the whole damn party mix.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you knew that.
Did you read that in your book, High Strangeness?
Yeah, I did. Thank you for bringing us back. Nation, you just heard from Eric, author of High Strangeness. You know you have to go to, CapeCodUFO.com?
Yeah, or you can just search High Strangeness book, and you can get it on Amazon. You can get it online.
No, but for free.
You can get it on Amazon as well for free right
okay.
now. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
If you want the, I believe it's the Kindle edition.
It was part of Prime Day.
Right.
So, guys, that was fun. Eric is definitely a lighthearted fellow who doesn't take UFOs too seriously.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, there's not much else to cover there. It's a book. It's fun. Folks can go check it out.
Well,
free
hold
if they
on.
Want to.
I got a couple important questions to ask you before we go off this book.
Ooh.
Because the other thing that he does that he makes his living on, and I got to ask you guys about it, is he makes, sells, and distributes kettle corn. You guys like and Bigfoot memorabilia. Do you guys like kettle corn? I love kettle corn. I love it. And I also love kettle cooked chips. It's like popcorn, but it's sweet and you gotta cook it right.
I mentioned before I was all that in the bag of chips. I'm all that in a bag of kettle cooked chips.
What am I, a communist? Of course I like kettle corn. So,
popping like some kettle corn.
I actually don't like kettle chips, though.
Oh, really?
I don't like...
Oh, so you are a communist.
I'm half communist. Shut up.
He's communist adjacent.
Remember, proxy. I don't like how crunchy it gets. Yeah. I like a good crunch, but it's almost like bordering on burnt.
So crunchy. Back in the day, you didn't like Crunch Taters, which were like the uber crunchy chips. Did you ever have those?
I don't... I'm trying to remember. I'm sure I did.
Someone who's as wrong as you are probably doesn't never ate those. So,
it's probably true.
Speaking of Crunch Taters, so they had a alligator as their mascot.
Clever.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't talk about this. Up in the
Oh, I didn't like those.
The lower fourth where we're at, they just caught Chance the Snapper. Someone released an alligator into the Humboldt Park
Lagoon,
and they had to call a Florida man to come in to trap him. And now he's living on an alligator
farm.
People
were like trying to trap him, unsuccessful, blah, blah, blah. It took him less than a day.
Yeah. What did he do? Well, he just swam. Yeah, he put on a mask. I'm a gator.
Started petting him.
I'm a gator.
Came right to him.
He threw some of that Alabama meth in there, and he came right to him. You know, that's the other thing.
I do like kettle corn.
Okay. That's great, John.
I thought we were going
Brent,
going back.
Just keep going. Don't make eye contact.
I smell almonds?
Is that burnt toast or pennies in my mouth? I can't really figure out what's going on right now.
Oh, we've probably made that joke on this show more than any other.
For real, though, real quick, you see where they're still telling people in Alabama, don't flush your meth. You'll get meth gators. Is that really scary? Because meth makes your teeth fall out, and that's the only scary thing about gators is their teeth.
Valid point.
A bunch of gummy gators. Now, they could swap you with their tails and maybe thrash you a little bit, but, you know.
Gum you.
Yeah.
Get a nice gum roll.
Oh, gummy. Oh, gummies. Gummy's coming to get
you. Unless the chemicals somehow
alter their DNA and turn them into man gators.
Well, is the
you thought that too, John? You thought that too?
is the meth made by TGRI or something like that? You know,
Umbrella Corporation.
Umbrella Corp. Okay, that's what I wanted.
I think it's funny though. Like, I mean, to get halfway serious, like it's something that in a way taps into the world that we live in.
Calicorn?
Like, the gator in the Humboldt Park Lagoon.
I don't want this anymore. I'm just going to let it go.
Well, do you know how people are always like, I see a, ichthyosaur? Not an, a plesiosaur in the...
How many calls do you think it took before they took it serious that there was a gator in the Humboldt Park Lagoon?
But, like, you know, this goes back to my mind. It connects to, like, the crashed circus train in the swamp. And this, you know, like, the things like that where you get the Honey Island Swamp Monster or the Swamp Ape or whatever, Skunk Ape. To have an alligator in a city park, you know, like you said, how many calls did it take? What do people think they saw? You know, like, it kind of speaks to
so what you're saying is that the Loch Ness Monster actually did come to Chicago.
They haven't hired a Florida man to go get the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, that's what you got it. Got it. Got it.
That's true. That checks out, really. If you think
I do love that it literally took Florida man like 2 hours to get the thing or whatever. Like they took Chicago, you know,
right?
Officials a couple days. But
going back though to talking with Eric, and we were talking about, we asked him if he thought, you know, if something like that crashed, what we said would happen. It's so funny though that he writes this book a couple years ago about storming a base, and then literally we're 2 months out from people are talking about doing that, which we've had our episode on.
We did our episode. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't need to replay the whole thing, but in short, I don't think anybody will be storming Area 51 anytime soon.
Not storming or, not clapping them alien cheeks.
No.
You clap a lot of cheeks, Mr. Flora?
All day, every day.
Our day.
Well, now that we're talking about books, fellas, a little off topic, but a little on topic, a little both. What are you reading right now?
It's funny you say that. I just actually bought a new bookshelf and put it. Assistant Ray actually went with me.
So you're reading instructions on how to build
it. I read instructions, put it together in no time. I got my new thing up. So that way, if anyone goes in my office and they glance over my bookshelf, they see like Helter Skelter and all these alien books and you know, Nazi propaganda
crap. So they
know
you're woke.
Yeah, exactly. Not like they're like, hey, we should leave. I actually have, you know what I'm really, seriously, the newest book I'm reading, So You Adopted a Dog. When we got our new dog, it came with that, which they didn't give it to us the first time, but the second time. So we've just been reading about that because, as you know, I adopted a second stray puppy. This was a stray in Chicago. He is a French Bulldog Rottweiler mix. 35 pounds, full grown. Little
bitty
guy.
I can you imagine how that happened? I don't want to get too graphic.
I don't know
here.
Who was on who. But someone really wanted it. Well, or didn't want it. I don't know. You know.
You got to understand, the stray was actually a member of the Fornications. So.
Yeah. Fornications. No, but for real, though. So I've read that. And it's funny because every dog's different. And it just talks about how, you know, do a 2-week shutdown where you, like, separate the dogs so they're acclimated to their new area and they're not inundated by the others. And at first, when we got the other dog, we were like, eh, but it does help. You know, it does help. And so they're not just, it is funny that we had a cold when we got him and he was sneezing and snotting everywhere, and now he's giving it to our other puppy. Oh. So now his nose is running. So that's a fun thing to have to clean up all the time.
Oh, that sounds
like they'll come
fun.
Over to you and they'll look you right in the face and you're like, hi, buddy. Achoo! And just sneeze on you. And you're like, that's, yeah.
So,
what are you reading? David, what are you reading?
That is a departure from most of the book. Like, if we look at your bookshelf right now, we see things like Behold a Pale Horse and The Iron Wolf.
I'm getting ready to read after this one. I'm reading Pale Horse Rider, which is a follow up to Behold a Pale Horse.
Are you kidding?
Talking crap about.
Oh, that's good.
It's looking at the Bill Cooper and all the flaws in him. I actually bought it about 6 months ago and I loaned it to Kevin. And then I went and I'm like, so how was it? He's like, I haven't read it yet. I'm like, all right, well, I'm taking it back because I've been itching to read it. So that's next.
He's still probably reading The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. Wasn't that the book he was reading or something like that?
Recently, yeah.
It was like 7,000 pages.
Yeah.
I made that up.
But. Him and Nick, our other buddy Nick, they read. I read stuff too. Like, I shouldn't make fun of him because a lot of the stuff I read for this show is important reads. But as you know, it reads like stereo instructions.
Oh, I'm reading one right now that's like that for an upcoming episode, Operation Paperclip. Both the name of the book.
I didn't hate it. Who's the lady that wrote it?
Annie Jacobson.
Yep. Yeah. Now, she took some liberties towards the end, as you'll get to.
I'm not there yet. But it does read a little bit like stereo instructions, only German stereo instructions, because all it is a bunch of names. Well, Hans Gruber. It wasn't Hans Gruber. We all know.
He
Nakatomi
was,
Plaza. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never forget.
Hans Gruber went to
begot Johann Gruber, and he begot. No, yeah.
They to be found at what do they call German castles?
They just saw
Schloss.
Schloss Lichter.
Yeah, they would talk about how, and they just missed him, but they found their papers, and
yeah.
This person was going to get this person, and this is the horrible stuff he did.
It's interesting
and they brought
stuff.
Him here.
It's just there's a lot of detail that I don't need. Like, yeah, we went and rounded up some Nazis. That would have been good enough for me.
They
and
literally
that's what,
talk
that's the
about,
level you're going to get on this program.
Yeah, we cut through the fluff
to get you the good stuff.
Yeah,
like facts and details. We don't need all that crap. I am reading.
You want that
right.
Shit, you go to Blurry Photos.
Yeah, that's it. Like I said, I'm reading Operation Paperclip. What are you reading, Mr. Flora?
I am in the middle of three books because I really went hog wild on this episode. I'm like a prize pig.
Sweet!
Batman! So I am... pretty much done with the third book on John Dee. The one I've enjoyed the most out of them has been called The Queen's Conjurer by Benjamin Woolley.
You know who his mother was?
Sandra
Dee.
Look
Dee.
At me, I'm Sandra Dee, blousing with virginity.
Skip that chapter. But
hey, I'm Sandra Dee. Sorry, keep going.
It is like you're saying. It's hard to marry the actual information with trying to be like entertaining or like keeping your interest.
Right.
But The Queen's Conjurer, the Woolley book, does a great job of that. He even sets it up in a way to like split up John Dee's life to where there are like cliffhangers for chapters and mm-hmm. stuff, which is real fun.
I had someone reach out to us on, I think it was on Reddit. I was chatting with someone and they're like, hey, I just, you know, you were talking about in a recent episode we did, you didn't talk about X, Y, and Z. And I said, you know, we know that those things happen, but you have to pick your through line in your topic, and you can't, we're not going to do the 3 to 4 hour monstrosities that some of the shows do. And that's good that they do. Not going to do, they're not going to do like, you know, seven parters. So we're always going to have to, we'll miss some things. A lot of times it's conscious that we're missing them, leaving it out so that we can get through it, you know? And unfortunately, those are, you have to make those concessions.
It's hard to explain that, you know, because we do actually think about how we put these together, and we're not just like, well, here's Wikipedia. Well,
and
that's
not a slam on that person. It's absolutely great. And I like it in those, like, hey, did you know about that? Sometimes I go, actually, I didn't. I don't know how I missed that or something like that, you know?
And then like, you feel like, oh, crap. What, you know, I'm a horrible researcher. I don't know what I'm doing.
Fuck you. Yeah. No, that never happened.
But like, With the episode I'm hopefully in the middle of putting out or have already gotten out, it pretty quickly turned into a two-parter just based on like the research, you know, that I was putting into it. And then trying to, this is especially true of a biography, which is basically what my episode is, on John Dee. It's like trying to include a narrative line, also like details that are interesting. There's a lot. And it like turns into a two-parter, or else you'll get nothing but you miss this, you miss that. And doing this, which is going to end up being a 2 hour long episode, probably me, two episodes. It's like, man, there's still so much stuff that's getting left out. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to get bored writing the script. So I need to like cut something out. Right. So,
and that's hard. Just like talking with, you know, Eric earlier about, you know, he took 60,000 plus words and dropped them 20,000. It's hard when you're like, but I want to talk about this. Yeah, but it's not entertaining or it doesn't matter. And then you're like, well, how editing the show? Editing the show is hard too, where you go like, sometimes I need to trim some stuff or we lose. We're like, well, how do you trim it? Well, you pick out John's parts.
That's obvious. We talked about on our panel at AlienCon, when you're doing a show like this, not only are you trying to inform and have but you're also trying to entertain. I mean, if folks just wanted the information that happened, there's plenty of articles to go read. They're also listening for,
Speed buggy?
That's exactly what they're listening for.
Me.
Cheese muffins.
None of you! But they, you know, it's also meant to be somewhat entertaining. Mm-hmm. Nation, let us know if you think we're entertaining.
Yeah, how can they do that, John?
They can go to facebook.com/groups/HysteriaNation.
I can think of a couple other places they can go to.
Cheese muffins.
That's our Facebook discussion group. If you can't remember all that, just search Hysteria Nation on Facebook. We talk about all this stuff a whole lot more and make fun of David Florida.
Yeah, that's right. Also, don't forget patreon.com/hysteria51. You can pay us money to throw things at David. It's not a...
Well, that's an interesting tier.
tier yet, but it might be.
Well, get ready to rake in the big ones.
So the new... you can smell John Goforth, and if you pay to smell John Goforth, I'll get you in front of David Flora, and you can comb his mustache. You have a beautifully coiffed... It's a thing of beauty, is it not? No, for
it
real.
Is.
I'm not making
it
fun
is.
Of it. I'm jealous.
I want to pet it.
Yeah. I want to name it. I want it to sit in my lap and stroke
Whoa!
It. While I hey, where are we going with this? My doctor said not to say that out loud.
Wait a minute. What is that? It's a fornication badge.
Oh, where's the real Brent?
Card carrying.
If you place a picture side by side of the Hadron Collider and the Aztec calendar, there's an eerie similarity between the two.
That checks out.
Thanks, Seabot.
So is he just going around, like, making these comparisons now? Just
if you take my anus and a starfish and place them together, there is an eerie similarity between the chocolate starfish. You never heard that?
Yeah, oh, I have.
Hot dog flavored water.
Limp Bizkit.
You did it all, Linda Dougie.
I just don't know how you went from.
I didn't do it. He did it. You don't watch Ancient Aliens anymore, do you? That's embarrassing for you.
They're really scraping.
Yeah. Well, it's on the DVD that I have.
That you made.
He sent it personally. Don't forget, you can chime into the show if you want. 773-669-7277.
Ooh, fun. I'll be the
mummy. 773-669-7277. If you forget any of that, you can find it on social media and
Hysteria51.
Before we say goodbye, we're going to say our goodbyes, but after that, we have another another special song this week from our good friends at Majungus. We got this week Intergalactic Invasion by Mike Gentile, the man with, David, I think you can tell us, how sweet were his suits?
The man with the sweetest suits.
Yes. So with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot and his underling, Kyle.
Stay Cheese woke, meat sex.
In comes the mothership from a distant world. Warning sirens blare from our strongholds. One by one they teleport through the sky. Foreign creatures I could not identify. Welcome to our home, the land of Martians. Do you come in peace? What are your intentions? Boom! Out from their guns, a laser stream ransacked the village, harboring the human beings. The outnumbered greys could hardly put up a fight, watching their creations disappear from sight. The invaders prepared their vessels for departure with the human race in their capture. A nuclear bomb was detonated. The Crimson Planet was obliterated.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.